Good morning and welcome to Sunday Morning, a news and public affairs programming service of Cox Media Group. I know it doesn't sound like your normal host, Mimi Lawson, but it really is me this morning. Really excited about this interview this morning. There are so many questions I have about IT and online security, and I have two great guests. David Lair and Ethan Tangredi are here today. Thank you for coming this morning.
We're happy to be here. It is a very viable subject right now. Presidential elections, and this is something that affects each and every user at home.
I get laughed at a lot by some of the younger people around here because I am very unwilling to download apps because they always want access to your Facebook, your contacts, and all of that. Am I just an old curmudgeon because of that, or is that good safety?
No, actually, I'm amazed at your level of awareness. If your listeners will open up their phone and look at their downloaded flashlight app, an app to turn a light on your phone, look at it. They've given them access to location, the camera, emails, and texts. Why in the world does it need that? Well, they're collecting data on you,
right,
that they sell to huge data warehouses.
Mm-hmm.
These companies then take them for legitimate and sometimes gray market illegitimate services, and so they turn around and tailor marketing directly at you. You suddenly start talking to your significant other about doing a biking trip of the Appalachians, and suddenly you're seeing B&B bed and breakfast ads for North Georgia and mountain biking ads.
Somebody said this to me the other morning. We went out to breakfast. We were already there, and he said, then I started getting reviews about that particular restaurant. I'm already here, and how did they even know I was there? And I said, this is exactly the reason why I won't download apps. But I did hear that about the flashlight, and that blew me away. It is so invasive, and I know maybe a lot of younger people are going to go, what are you talking about? But it's all 1986, George Orwell.
They sell 2 million apps. They give away 2 million apps. A penny a piece for each person's data is $200,000 in their pocket.
Exactly.
You know? I hope my math was right on that.
Yeah. So when you download an app and it asks you for all that information, is it normal just to say, I'm not going to take the app?
Yes.
Okay. That's what you should do.
Find a different app. And if it's a utility, there's going to be other ones out there that are far less intrusive.
Okay. So let's talk about another thing is I always disable my location. And I know that I have to turn it back on if I want to use my navigation device. But I always keep it turned off. Is that another way to protect yourself?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Especially through the app collection data.
Right.
Realize that when you turn your location off, your GPS is still on, your phone is still tracked for 911 purposes,
right,
and other things like that. But this is why after you get a brand new phone and you've had it for 3 weeks and one day your phone vibrates and you look at it and it says commute to home 27 minutes and you're like, what?
Right.
Well, it's figured out, you know, every day you leave this particular location somewhere between 5 and 5:45, mm-hmm, and you spend the night, you know, 90% of the time in this location. It has run an algorithm, and it says work, home, place. And it starts conditioning events around you for that.
Right. David, does it scare you being part of the IT community that this is happening, or did you see this coming all along?
Oh, I've always been a paranoid son of a gun.
Glad it's not just me.
But, you know, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you.
Exactly. Exactly.
This has been very Orwellian. And years ago, you'd buy a blender and you'd have a little postcard in it that you'd check off a bunch of stuff. And
that
you knew you were doing it.
Yeah.
For the warranty
card.
Right,
so to speak.
Now, that's in everything.
Right.
Whether you're browsing on your phone and what really makes me paranoid is IoT, Internet of Things.
What is Internet of Things? Right, okay.
Right now, you have the internet on a tablet on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're about to get it on your eyeglasses. You're going to get it in your clothes. The internet is now on Samsung refrigerator, so you can check and see if you need milk.
Yeah. On the TV you have in your living room. I mean, it's that Internet of Things is becoming that, you know, net camera you're watching your children with.
Really? I heard that, Ethan, that is one of the ways that you're being tracked as well.
Mm-hmm. All of those things are starting to, A, collect information about you, mm-hmm. and then there's a security issue from it as well that, you know, as a consumer, they make these things very easy to use.
Right.
And but because they're easy for you to use, you might not take all the steps of changing passwords, things like that.
Right.
And that becomes a vulnerability that somebody, because every piece of hardware, software that's out there is written by humans. We right. all make mistakes at some point. And you can have, you know, mistakes in code that are written that somebody else figures out, and that becomes a way mm-hmm. that they can access your information. I mean, there have been recorded instances of net cameras being, quote unquote, hijacked by somebody because username passwords were set as default.
Right.
There was a recent distributed denial of service attack that was done against a major IT vendor out of the Northeast that took down Tumblr, it was a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all these websites went down because this one person site was hit from a distributed denial of service attack that was launched from these Internet of Things devices that had a certain in it.
What does really Internet of Things mean, Ethan? What does that mean?
You have access to the internet
okay.
or connectivity of some sort to the World Wide Web through a non-computer device.
I see.
It can be eventually it'll be health monitors in your clothing, GPS locators, your car is connected to the internet. And while it may be a single dedicated purpose for that item, it is still collecting information. And you put it with nine other mm-hmm. individual items, it now creates a shadow.
Right.
And then from a shadow, it goes 2D and then 3D. And you now, 18 years ago, I clicked on a small little ad in my AOL portal. And I bought a book.
Oh, boy.
7 months ago, that company became bigger than the largest retailer in the world.
Wow.
Amazon is now bigger. While I'm paranoid, I also love convenience.
That's the next thing I was going to say. Is it because we're lazy?
I now walk around the kitchen doing whatever, and I say, Alexa, add paper towels to my shopping list.
Right.
And I had guests all weekend, and we were running short of something, and I turn around and ordered stuff and had groceries delivered in less than an hour.
Wow.
With fresh produce and eggs.
Right.
I can turn off lights, I can change the thermostat and lock and unlock my doors by
right.
voice command, but I can also do it if I'm in Vancouver through my yeah. phone app.
Right.
Yes, very convenient.
Yeah, hugely.
But what if someone walks up to my front door and just yells into the house, Alexa, unlock the door?
Yeah, what would happen? Is it voice recognizing or not?
I definitely have security measures,
right.
but the average person probably doesn't
know
to do that.
Exactly.
You know?
What do we do? How are we going to be able to protect ourselves as this becomes bigger and bigger?
I think it's self-education, being
yeah.
aware, listening to shows like this, realizing that you shouldn't just plug and play, if you will. And, you know, it is that convenience factor that you talked about, but
mm-hmm.
it does make, you know, we're all very busy in our lives today, so these things save time. And, you know, you can focus on things that are more important or that, you know, maybe you're being able to focus with your family.
I agree with you on the being able to have the groceries delivered, but what drives me out of my mind, I was at a charity event several weeks ago for Halloween, all these people in Halloween costumes, there was great food everywhere, wonderful entertainment, and even the old people I saw sat around looking at their phones. So you're really not saving time in experiencing anything else, you're experiencing the world through something that doesn't exist.
I have a rule in my house that the phone goes on the table, you know.
Yeah.
My phone has a special ring when it's a business issue,
mm-hmm.
And I will stop a conversation and take care of that. I got clients. Someone has
sure.
to pay the bills. But if it's not that special ring, mm-hmm. it can wait, whatever
right.
it is. But to protect yourselves, people need to stop using passwords.
And what do you mean by stop using passwords?
Seriously, listeners, stop using passwords.
So what if they ask
start
you for
using passphrases?
Oh.
Okay, Fido or Rover can be hacked very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Fido is my dog.
Is harder.
Is a whole lot harder.
You know, I never even heard of that before, and I never thought about it.
make it complicated.
Okay.
You know, many years ago, there was a joke about, oh, we're going to start a band. Well, how do we pick a name? Well, we pick a color and a fruit. You know, blue raisins, red apricots.
Right. So you're saying pick things that are not normal.
You do the same thing with this. Do, and don't make it something common to yourself.
Okay.
Pick something unusual. Also, pick three level of passphrases. When you do download that flashlight app and it requires a password for some reason, do not use your banking password.
Yeah.
Okay. All your secure financial stuff should have its own unique password, and it shouldn't be the one that you use for Google Mail or mm-hmm. or some membership at the gym or something, because their security is going to be much less. And if
right.
that gets hacked, well, they're just grabbing your thing and trying it on the Wells Fargo and the Bank of America
right.
site.
Well, the thing for me is that I can't remember my passwords. You know, when you're making up that many passwords for that many different things, and everybody wants a password now, I mean, what do you do? Then you go and write that password down for every single thing. I mean, that, so I do that the same thing. I end up using a very typical password just because I, you know, I want to get it over with.
If I make it something easy to remember, but you have a unique pair of glasses on right now.
Okay.
So, you know, make your password rainbow glasses.
I see.
That's something it'll trigger to you, but no one else is, they're not going to look for your birthday or your dog's name or your husband's
right.
name.
Right.
Okay. It's going to be something unique. Mm-hmm. And, don't use your address. Use your next door neighbor's address.
Oh, what a great
you
idea.
Know, you, one of your neighbors has a unique car. Use something that's unique to you, but familiar, but not
I see.
And then also you can use technology to help you with this problem, that there are many commercial password manager solutions out there
mm-hmm.
that will store all of your passwords both in on your computer locally. They'll sync with your mobile device. So if you're out doing business transactions.
Hang on a second. So what just happened? I got a new phone. I got a new iPhone. And I just turned off the ringer because we were going to do this interview. And then it rang anyway. And of course, I have 954. This came from somewhere. I have no idea. I'm almost happy that happened. This is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Drives me absolutely insane. It's to the point, I think, for a lot of people, for me for sure, that I wish, I know it's convenient. Don't get me wrong. And I'll tell you what, Google Maps or whatever, or the navigation device is the best thing that ever happens. It's the whole reason for the space program. I'm all in because I'm the worst when it comes to directions. But I'm really starting to be concerned that this is going to completely control this country, the world. I'm very concerned about this.
We're survivors. We will outlast the cockroaches after Armageddon. I got no worries about that. It's less about the phone than about the individual user. And if there's any business owners out there right now, please listen. But our biggest threat to us
mm-hmm.
is not a hacker in
Russia.
Serbia or some WikiLeaks invasion. WikiLeaks is the new fourth estate, the new unbiased press.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Our biggest threat is us. It is the person in the office bypassing all the security that the IT department has put into place and accessing their Hotmail or Gmail account, getting an email that says, we have a tracking package for you. Please unzip the file attached.
Mm-hmm.
And they sit there and it says, this is a suspicious file. Do you want to proceed? And they click yes. And now they've bypassed all the corporate security and gotten in there.
Mm-hmm.
Or they get an email that says, hey, go here and register.
Right.
We have information for you, but give us your information before we give it to you. And you sit there and give them your name, address, and phone number on this website that looks like Wells Fargo or something.
Right.
And if you think it's suspicious,
it is.
Don't click.
Uh-huh.
Stop clicking. You get an email from PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
Do not click on the email. Open up a separate browser and type in paypal.com and then log in that way. and see if it's a genuine message.
Well, and one of the things that I do, and I don't know if this is a part of what you're talking about, is when I get a call from anybody and they want me to confirm my address or confirm, I'm like, oh, no, no, no. You called me. If I had called that person, that's a different story, but I don't know who you are.
Yeah,
no,
okay, you've got a file on me. Give me what you've got.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, and I know this has really become rampant because it actually happened to me the other day, and then I heard that it happened to a lot of people. I heard about it on the news and around the office. This whole thing with the IRS, that they're calling you, telling you that they're going to arrest you because you've got back taxes and all this. And this guy swore I even asked him for his employee number and he gave it to me. Well, of course it's not the IRS. I knew that too. But there are so many people, and unfortunately a lot of them are older people, who do not understand how things work. Is there a Band-Aid? Is there a quick way that we can tell? You've given us a couple of answers that we can start protecting ourselves or educating people.
Be paranoid. Be suspicious.
Okay.
You get a call from the IRS. You get a call from Microsoft support that there's a bug in your computer and
right.
we need to fix it for you. You get a call from
never give somebody access
UPS
to your computer.
Say, great, let me get a phone number to call you back.
Right.
You're going to find they're hanging up on you real quick.
Of course.
Okay, at that point, don't even bother going further. It was a scam, but they do give you a phone number. Now, look up an be a reporter. Never trust anything unless you have an independent, verifiable resource.
Right.
Or as my mother used to say, believe none of what you hear and only half of what you see.
Yeah, exactly. You were talking about corporations. I know we get emails all the time here at Cox about how they're doing fixes and patches because we're getting constantly. I mean, Cox is a huge conglomerate. They don't just do radio and television. So people who do work for big companies like that, you think are going to see more of those things, especially on their work email.
Yes. And, you know, be careful about emails. There's a constant scam out there. You know, CoxRadio.com.
Mm-hmm.
You get an email, you're the CFO, the financial officer for Cox Radio, and you get an email from, I don't know who your CEO is, but,
right.
you know, CEO, Cox Radio.
Abigail Adams.
.com. Abigail Adams. And you see it and it says, hey, out of town, I need this money wired done away. Well, if you look at the address, you'll see there's two I's in radio.
Oh.
Something very
Or they
Easy
put a
miss.
Zero in yeah. for one of the O's or
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, they put
like
a zero
that.
As one of the O's or something.
Right.
Something you miss. I mean, if there's the least bit of reason to be concerned,
right.
if they're asking for information,
right.
if they're requiring you to do something, ask why.
But right. to go to what Mimi was saying earlier, I think she has a really valid point about how people get sucked into their phones and doing this online all the time. One of the things that I think is really important is to What I always tell people is slow down. So don't be checking your email every 30 seconds on your phone. If you dedicate, you know, all right, I'm going to check my email once an hour mm-hmm. or something to that effect. Now you're doing it with intentionality and you can actually start to be aware because it really is that intentionality that's important. These phones, technology is incredibly addicting. I mean, there have been studies done that they trigger dopamine reactions so that you're getting that positive feedback. But, you know, lots of dopamine over a long period of time is not good for the body, you know, from
right.
just a physiological standpoint. And so there are things you could do. You know, you can do what David does where you just go put your phone down when you walk in the door and mm-hmm. be done with it for the day.
Right.
At my kid's school, and they read Walden Pond, and during that time, they do a two-week fortnight of technology-free that's encouraged. And, you know, the kids have to disconnect completely. It's a challenge in today's environment to do it, but even taking small steps to do that disconnecting and being intentional when you use the technology will make you more aware, make you more able to and vigilant to go, oh, hold on, this looks like a scam. Something seems off on this.
Right. How do we tell people who, none of us are obviously in our 20s anymore. I wasn't insulting anyone there. But how do we explain to younger people really how dangerous this is becoming? And I think a lot of younger people do not realize that someone having access to every where you go, who you talk to, where you shop is very, very invasive. How do we explain that to them?
I think you have to have those frank conversations with your kids. You need to point out some examples of, hey, here are some things that have happened. I mean, there's all sorts of research one can do on the internet, unfortunately. But you can, I mean, there are examples where, you know, kids will give personal information and, whoa, what is this? Mm-hmm. Being a parent in today's environment is very difficult from the amount of access that children have available now that we never had to do. And there is, you know, you have to take a duty on yourself to have some conversations about, hey, this is what is happening, mm-hmm. and educating your kids, because we can't just let our kids assume our kids are going to be okay.
Yeah.
I mean, when my kids started with technology, yes, we had conversation with them. Did they still do crazy thing? Yes. I mean, I remember one time one of my children went and posted his home address in a chat forum because they were talking about where they live. And so we had a long conversation about why that was not a good idea. I can guarantee you my son has never done that again. And he learned it because we really went into it. But kids are going to make mistakes, but you need to have those frank conversations and be aware of what they are doing. I mean, and I think it is difficult, but there are technology tools you can utilize to try and track your kids and see what they're doing.
Right.
I think children's minds were given to us to play with, and therefore you should. Because if you don't, somebody else will.
You're right.
I have literally, when my daughter was growing up, and I now do it with her and her friend's kids, we intentionally create scenarios.
I see.
My mother used to say, my eldest brother, she told him one time, that burner's hot, don't touch it.
Right.
But my eldest brother, it was, Bill, don't touch that. Bill, don't touch that. And she finally had to let him reach up and touch it and burn his hand to finally stop that.
Well, I think that's a good idea. I mean, not to get burned.
So
you like to do play acting.
We have had a friend of ours go up with a puppy in a park to our kids.
That was the next
and
thing.
And do a test thing.
Good.
We have had strangers ask them for, after having the talk.
Right.
You inspect what you expect.
Oh.
So you have the talk with them. You have them, it's always important, have them repeat it back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the next couple of days, you go up to the park and everything and have someone come up and walk to them and start talking and say, where do you live? Or, you know, what's your mommy's name or whatever? Oh, that's your sister over there. And then walk over and say, you know, your mom, Carol, said to.
Mm-hmm.
And then you bring them over and you have the stranger walk up and says, boom.
Right.
The kids suddenly realize this is real.
I'm so glad you said this, because as we were talking, Ethan, I was thinking about something I had seen on one of the TV news shows, done that with parents who'd had these conversations with their kids about meeting people online. And they were mostly young women who then met somebody online, and the guy said, well, come with me, we'll pick it. And these girls would go out and get in these vans, and their mothers and fathers would be in the back of the van. And they were like, have you no idea what could have happened? This is exactly what we talked about.
The ice cream van. I mean, 2020 has done it many times, and 9 out of 10 parents go,
right.
Oh, my, no, I've had the talk with the kids, and 9 out of 10 kids get into that van for the ice cream.
When you've done this before, how have your results been? Have your kids failed a lot?
We're obviously not using real actors and everything, so our results are, it's about 60% failure rate.
Yeah, that's pretty big. So you would encourage parents to do these kinds of things?
You know, you have community watch groups, you have your religious groups and your coffee collage. Get with them, come up with something, find, you know, a brother or somebody who can come in and be the stranger.
Right.
And create a situation. So education without application is entertainment. Mm-hmm. The talk is entertainment until you put it in a real life situation and the kid finally makes that connection in the synapses.
Yeah.
I love that.
Kids have to experience. I mean, there is a need to experience, and so they do need that ability. So, I mean, I never did that full-out playwright with my kids, but I think that's a brilliant idea, is that especially relying on the community that you have built up. I mean, we all know people and who our kids won't know, and there's ways. And so, yes, because kids, you can show them multiple times, but they do need that experiential to go, oh, now the light bulb's going to go off.
I think that's a great idea. And I know that this program is not a platform to talk about business, but you do own a business, and that one of the things that you're able to do is for just corporations to be able to set up some of these stopgaps?
We focus on small to medium businesses that are large enough to have a complicated network, but not big enough to have their own IT department.
I see.
We started out in the residential market, but there are folks who specialize in that.
So if somebody wants wanted to get in touch with you, though, do you have a website?
Yes, ma'am. We're LairServices.com, L-A-I-R Services.com. We're located in downtown Tampa, but we cover the six regional counties, mm-hmm. and we're the IT firm you swear by, not at.
And well, listen, you can go ahead and repeat what you said to
me. I can say we take the SH out of IT.
I loved it. I love that. I am so glad that you guys came this morning. I would have held up cards because when I heard that you were going to be able to come in here and I lost my voice, I so wanted to talk to you about this. This is right on the top of our minds. And you say, of course, with the presidential election, look how it's made such a difference in 4 years, how much our world has changed.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
It's been incredible.
Will you do me one more thing and explain to me what Wikipedia is all about, or this WikiLeaks thing is all about?
Okay. Well, first off, Wikipedia is something separate, and they get confused a lot.
I got confused.
Wikipedia is a user-created encyclopedia.
Right.
You hope the information there has been verified, and they're doing a very good job of verifying the information there.
But WikiLeaks.
WikiLeaks is a anonymous organization that goes out and seeks, either through hacking, recruitment, or referral, asking for personal private information on governments and large corporations in order to expose questionable behavior.
Wrongdoing, yeah.
It is basically what the press in the 18... when the Founding Fathers gave us the First Amendment free press rights, it's what they intended.
Mm-hmm.
They want a spotlight on hidden activity.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, some people may say they have political motives or whatever. Basically, if they released 20,000 pages of NSA documents and somewhere in there is a document that hoods a Republican candidate, you know, I don't see that as targeted.
And, you know, explaining it that way, I kind of now have a different opinion about some of these leaks because, you know, the way that the press has vilified WikiLeaks, and I think the reason probably why they are is because they are telling the truth. They're bringing out the truth, and so we should really celebrate that.
They're a hidden extension of a website called The Smoking Gun that would put out suddenly a medical corporation gets sued for something, and then the settlement is under a non-disclosure. And they find it, and they release it, because the individual in the suit's not allowed to say this thing's defective and hurting people. But they, Smoking Gun, releases the actual document showing that this is a defective product, the company knows about it, and they're making more money than it's costing them to be sued.
Right.
So to me, that's what the free press is about.
You're right. So this has kind of been one of the good sides of the internet that we've talked about. I mean, there is, you know, good and bad to this.
WikiLeaks is kind of like Martin Luther with the Catholics and the Protestants. I was raised Catholic, and so I heard certain things about Martin Luther.
Right.
Then I married a Southern Baptist. I'm in church one day, and I hear them talking about how great Martin Luther is, and I'm like, what? And then I suddenly realized, oh, it's two sides of the same coin.
Right, exactly. So, thank you so much for coming in here and putting up with a voice and everything this morning. But you guys have been a plethora of information for us, and we can, again, get in touch with you, and the website is what?
LairServices.com.
David Lair has been our guest this morning, along with Ethan Tancredi. I cannot thank you guys enough, and hopefully people will get in touch with you if they have some of these concerns as well.
Stop using passwords, start using passphrases, be aware. Ask why someone wants this information.
And don't be upset if you're paranoid.
Exactly.
I'm celebrating my paranoia this morning.
Yes.
Exactly.
Thanks for joining us on Sunday Morning, a news and public affairs programming service of Cox Media Group.